something, but I guess that's just me now. So, and it's good to see you. Happy Resurrection Day. Yeah, it's Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday. Amen. Come and see. He's risen. He's risen indeed. And he's risen just as he said. You know, I'm excited about, you know, it's funny. Every Easter, we want to speak about Easter, and I don't want it to be the same every year. So this year, I'm excited about what we're going to talk about today. And I hope for you, you walk out of here thinking about that tagline, come and see. Come and see. Just got to get that in your head for a minute. We celebrate this day because, I don't know if you ever thought of it this way, but Easter is the day that created Christianity. I know for some of you, you're like, wait a minute, created Christianity? How is that possible? How can Easter be a day that creates a religion? Well, it did. Now, some people would say, I know, some people out there, you're like, maybe you're like theologians and you're thinking, well, I thought that was Christmas because Jesus came to earth. I mean, they call it the Advent. He came, God came. Then the second Advent would be his second coming. And I get that because even the angel said he'll be called Emmanuel, and that meant God with us. But that didn't create Christianity. It was God with us. But it is cool because even that event, even Christmas, you have that element of come and see. Remember the Christmas story? Remember that? Remember how it was announced to the shepherds first? And basically the angel said, go see him. Come and see. So they went and saw the Christ child. Remember that? And then a little while later, the wise men came, and their whole mission was to come and see the king, the baby-born king of the Jews. Come and see. It's in there. Come and see. Now, again, I keep saying it's the resurrection is the birth of Christianity. But some of you might be saying, well, wait a minute. I thought that was more when Jesus started his ministry. Because even in that, he starts calling disciples. He says, follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And at one point, they ask him, because when you were follow somebody like that, if you were going to be a disciple of a rabbi, you would basically go live with him. And they ask him, they said, well, where are you staying? And he says, come and see. He's basically saying, you want to know what this Christ life is about? You need to follow me and come and see what it's about. You come follow me and you'll see. Come and see. And some of you might say, it's different than that. Some of you might say, well, in the book of John, you know, he loves the number 7. I don't know if anybody noticed that. He uses 7 I am statements. He has 7 basically teaching segments. And then he does this with Jesus. He has 7 miracles that he mentions. And each miracle, he doesn't actually use the word miracle. I love how the biblical authors did this because God is so, I just love how God creates us so individual and he gives us personalities. Then he uses those personalities to express what he wants. So he each of the gospel writers, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're all different and they write in a different way. Well, John, he doesn't use the word miracle. What he uses is the word sign. He said, each of these are signs. And what do signs do? Signs point to somebody. Basically, they are opportunities for you to come and see. You can come and see what makes Jesus different. So think about these for a minute. Remember, the first miracle was Jesus turning water into wine. Basically, come and see this man who has control over chemicals and substances, and he can alter those things supernaturally. Then the next miracle, he heals this official's son, and he isn't even there. He's not even close to the child. He just says, it's done. And as the official's going on his way, his servants meet him and say, your son was already healed. And he said, when? And he says the time, and it was the same time Jesus said. Jesus heals, but he's not bound by space and time. Come and see. The third miracle is interesting too, because he heals a crippled man. And this man needed his physical body to be changed. And Jesus had the power to do that. Come and see. He's different. This is different. Then he feeds the 5,000. It's reminiscent of Moses, you know, bringing manna from heaven. He controls that and he supplies food from heaven. Then he walks on water, power over nature. Then he heals a man born blind. It's fascinating because the Jews had this idea that people could be healed, but not somebody born blind. That's something that only God could do. And who does it? Jesus. Come and see. He healed somebody born blind. Then, of course, one of the greatest miracles he did is raising Lazarus from the dead. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but He has control and power over life and death itself. Come and see. I keep saying, though, the resurrection is the birth of Christianity. And some people might say, well, no, they made it up. Some people actually say that. They say, no, they made up Christianity later, like maybe 100 years later. Like, they didn't even write anything down and they just made it up later. Well, the problem with that is we have fragments of what they wrote within 30 years of Jesus' death. They did write it down. Of course, at first they were telling everybody about it and they couldn't stop talking about it and they kept pointing to the resurrection. And the reason they did that is because that was the birth of Christianity. It changed everything. They kept pointing to it and talking about it. Then they did write it down. And even the Apostle Paul, as he wrote letters, he kept talking about it. And the idea is the resurrection is it. And then what's interesting, there's at least 10 sources outside the Bible that are Roman, that are Jewish, that are Greek, not even believers, and they write about the birth of the church and the resurrection. Some people might say, no, his followers, they made it up. It was a big conspiracy. The problem is, most conspiracies, you've got to have a motive. And usually the motive for a conspiracy is something like power or money or sex, but the disciples, they didn't get power. They didn't get money. They didn't get influence. They didn't get prestige. They weren't famous in their day. What happened to them? They were hunted and persecuted and rejected, both by their families and by the religious establishment of the day, because this was new, because the resurrection created the church. It was a brand new religion, and they all died horrible deaths except for John. They did try to kill him. Tradition says that he was boiled in oil and survived. And then they couldn't even control him, so they exiled him to an island. And then that didn't even work because then he had all these students and he would write letters and it went out everywhere. But still, Christianity wasn't created by Jesus' followers. They were created by the event. The fact is they stayed with him. They knew him. Jesus kept telling them, come and see. But they didn't get it. He kept telling them, I'm going to have to die. But they didn't get it. He kept saying to them, I'm going to die. I'm going to be in the ground 3 days. He literally told them. And it's so funny when you look at the gospel accounts, they weren't sitting there waiting for him. And you might wonder why. I've wondered that all my life. How could they be with Jesus 3.5 years, learn from him all these things? He tells them these things. They see him do miracles. When you think about it, they were in the boat when he walked on water. They were the ones passing out the food that got multiplied over and over and over. And not just like us, but for thousands of people. I mean, they had to see things that would have blown their minds. But when he told them, I'm going to have to die and raise again, they didn't believe it. They didn't get it. Why is that? I think the reason why is actually something that might make a little bit of sense to you. The fact is, they didn't have a category or a place to put what Jesus was saying. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. This happens to me sometimes. I mean, well, let me just give you some examples. Okay, I grew up right by Mexico in San Diego. From my parents' backyard, it's up on a hill. And, a mountain here in Missouri. But when you're up in their backyard, you can literally see Tijuana and I can see the beach. They're both 5 miles away, but it's that close. So I speak about this much Spanish. But I speak it, because I grew up around it, my accent's really good. So if I say anything in Spanish to a native Spanish speaker, you know what happens? They're like, blah, 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 and I'm like, ugh. I don't have a context for it. I understand a little of what they're saying, but unless they slow down, I mean, I catch the phrase and I kind of know what's going on. I didn't really get it. They didn't have a category. They couldn't understand fully. It's kind of like this. I mean, I dabble in a lot of things. You know, I worked for an electrician, but I'm not an electrician. I mean, in high school and junior high, I did that. But there's times where I'll be talking to somebody and I know a little bit about cars. Like, how many of you held a light for your dad? All right, I love my dad. Wasn't really a teacher kind of guy. He was more of a hold the light still, right? So I know this much about cars. I mean, you talk to a real mechanic or a real car guy, and right about here I'm good, and then they lose me. I mean, I know the words, right? The words, but together it doesn't make sense. That's what was happening to them. Because in the Jewish thought, they had the idea that all the righteous would be resurrected in the last day. So every time Jesus said that he was going to die and rise again, in their minds, they just thought, Yeah, on the last day. So here we are thinking, disciples, how could you not get it? Well, it's because they just didn't have a place to put that information. So let me give an example. So Lazarus, who I mentioned, I don't know if you're familiar with the story, Jesus, he had friends outside the disciples, and three of them were siblings. You have Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were very good friends. The disciples stayed with them multiple times. We see it in scripture. And then at one point, Jesus gets word, your friend Lazarus is sick unto death. So the disciples say, well, we should go. And Jesus says, no, this is not going to be to death. And they wait 4 days. Then they get word he's dead. The disciples are like, come on, man. And so he goes. When he gets there, he's confronted by Martha. So first the disciples said, Lord, because Jesus said, no, he's only asleep. Because Jesus knew he was going to raise him from the dead. So he says, and then they say to him, Lord, if he's sleeping, he'll get better soon. And they thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. And look what he says, come and see. Come and see. Come and see. When he got there, everybody was mourning. Now, different cultures mourn differently. I don't know if you've been to different funerals in different cultures, but their culture, wailing and crying was very appropriate. In fact, they had professional criers and wailers. Anybody sign up for that? Anybody good at that? I know some people who are just loud and emotional, and I love being around them, but they literally would pay people. And the amount of wailing and crying meant like you had to pay for it. That way it showed that you really cared. That's how it was. So Jesus gets there and all that's going down. Then Martha sees him and she comes up and confronts Jesus. Look at what she says. Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. When you read scripture, do you ever put little inflection in there? Because you could read it like this. Lord, if you'd only been here. You know why? Because she knew he'd healed other people. Like, why didn't he heal my brother, your friend? There was a lot embedded in her question there. And I'm sure there was a little bit of disappointed attitude. And then she says, kind of softens it. But even now, I know God will give you whatever you ask. So Jesus tells her, your brother will rise again. But remember, she didn't have a context for that. So what does she think he meant? At the end of days. And that's exactly what she says. She says to him here, she goes, well, everyone who believes in me will never die. That's what Jesus tells her. Oh, sorry, I messed it up here. So Martha says he will rise again when everyone else rises at the end of days. And Jesus plainly tells her, no, come and see. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? She still didn't get it. He just kept inviting people to come and see. Come and see. Come and see. They just didn't understand. I don't know about you, if you remember. Do you remember when you didn't understand? Do you remember that? Some of you have been Christians a long time, and it's probably hard for you to even remember when you didn't understand. Some of you maybe are still there, and you're not quite sure. And Jesus tells you, just like he tells us, come and see. I want you to see, what he's basically saying is I want you to see who I am and I want you to follow me. He says it to all of us. And there may have been a time in your life where none of this made sense. And then there was a time when everything made sense. But I can imagine there's somebody here today who you don't quite get it. And just like that last song we sang, you need to see that he's actually Lord of everything. That's why John put those seven miracles in the story. At the end of the book of John, he says, Jesus did so many things that we would have to write books forever. It would fill up the whole world to explain all the things he did. He just chose seven things to show that Jesus was Lord over those things. For some of us, we're carrying something here today and you need Jesus to be Lord over it, just like I prayed earlier. But you're still not quite there yet. You still don't have a category for it, and I get it, because he keeps saying, come and see, and you're not sure. For some of you, you need him to be Lord of a sickness. For some of you, it's nature. There's actually a physical issue that you need fixed. For some of you, it's disease or even depression or sorrow or disappointment. Or maybe unforgiveness, that somebody has done something and you can't let it go, but you need him to be Lord over that. And for that to happen, you need to come and see. Jesus offers this to you today, though, a reason for you to believe and a reason for you to have hope and a reason for you to see a future beyond what you could ever imagine, because he's that God and he can do it. Remember, I kept saying, the resurrection is what started Christianity. And here's why. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, by the way, that's why we meet on Sundays. People sometimes ask, well, if the Jews met on the Sabbath, on Friday night to Saturday, why don't we do that? Well, it's because Jesus rose on Sunday. So they celebrated that just like we're doing today. They celebrated this resurrection because it started the church way back then, and they still do it today. So early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Okay, anybody like me and you're like, the other Mary? How would you like to be the other Mary? I just think it's funny. So as I was reading that, I'm like, how many Marys were there? It's pretty funny. I was doing some research on this. They're like, there could have been five. That name was super common. And in Hebrew, it would have been Miriam. So if you know anybody named Miriam, that would be the equivalent to that name. It's pretty funny. Because James and John's dad, mom was named Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary Magdalene. And then Mary and Martha, yeah. And then the other Mary. Okay. Suddenly there was an earthquake. For the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and he sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. The angel spoke to the woman, "Don't be afraid." It's really funny. Every time an angel appears, he says, "Don't be afraid." It's really comical to me. You know, we have all these images of angels, and no offense to anybody, but if you got like one and you're hanging around that's got wings and looks all pretty, typically they look like a man in shiny clothes and it's scary. So don't be afraid. I love this part. "I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said would happen." It's kind of funny there because he's like, just as he said, over and over and over, but you didn't get it. But you're here right now. You're looking for him. He's risen just as he said. And he says, then he says, "Come and see. Come and see where the body was." Because sometimes it takes that much. You need to see Jesus. You need to see the actual change. They needed to see it with their own eyes. She needed to walk in and look where the body was and see it was gone. "And now go quickly, tell his disciples he's risen from the dead. He's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were frightened, but also filled with great joy. They rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him and grasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee. They will see me there." It's hard to see in these words right here how the church was started and why I keep saying it was the birth of the church. But here's why. Because the resurrection changed everything. All of a sudden, they had a new category. It wasn't that it was going to be at the end of the age. He said now. And then they saw his resurrected body and they realized, wow, this is real. Because what that meant is everything that he said, all the other things he said, are now validated by the fact that he rose from the dead. He conquered everything, life and death itself. And he's standing there in bodily form. And he proves it to them because in different times when he appears to people, he eats with them. At one point, he's cooking fish on a fire for the disciples. I mean, it's crazy. He's real. And he raised from the dead. And it changed everything. Because now they had a category and they said, wait a minute. All those times he said that, he meant now. And he meant physical. And he's here. Incredible. They saw it and they came and they saw it. It was the event that changed everything. And you have to understand, before any scripture was written, the resurrection was the thing they preached. Because they preached it over and over and over. Because they knew that it had happened. It was an event that historically is not only emphasized by all of them, but it's referred to by all these outside sources. It's crazy. It was that event that made them see Jesus as king. Jesus as the promised one. Jesus as the risen Lord of all. And Jesus kept inviting them to see who he really was. And even though they had been with him and lived with him, they saw him, but they didn't really see him. Now, it all made sense. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. And when they saw him, they couldn't stop telling everybody. And when they saw him, they began to invite everybody else to come and see. Come and see this risen Lord who's made everything different now. Come and see this risen Lord who now being seeing his resurrection, it validates everything we've ever seen. Now, like I said earlier, at first they just told everybody about it. Then they started to write it down. And it's amazing. When you look at the early New Testament account, it's so beautiful because it's so raw, so vivid, so just authentic to what actually happened. Have you ever told a story and left out parts that made you look bad? Anybody else ever done that? Right? You get pulled over, you don't actually say the whole thing, right? Oh, that cop, he was such a jerk, and right? You forget the part about, like, I was speeding, and right? That's what I love about the New Testament. It's so authentic. As you read it, it just reads exactly what happened. They just tell you the story as it happened, embarrassing details and all. It makes it so real. Mary and the other women are the ones who see first. In their culture, so misogynistic, a woman's testimony, you would have two or three women to equal the testimony of one man. If you were to make up the story and lie about it, you would have had men tell the story, not women, because you wanted it believed. It's even better, though. The disciples are the ones who weren't there believing. They weren't expecting Jesus. Who was expecting Jesus to rise from the dead? The Jewish rulers. They're the ones that had the soldiers posted. The disciples weren't. They were still hiding. But what changes everything? What creates the church is the resurrection, because all of a sudden, they gain power and they gain boldness and they're ready to talk about it. Come and see. It changed everything. All of a sudden, because of the resurrection, Mary and the other women believed. Because of the resurrection, Peter, who had denied Christ, he went from a denier to a preacher. And on the day of Pentecost, he preaches a sermon and 3,000 people get saved. Because of the resurrection, Jesus is walking with two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And when he talks, they tell the story and they said, as he was talking, our hearts burned within us because of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, Thomas, who didn't believe, sees the risen Lord and he calls out and he says, my Lord and my God. He realizes he's not just Lord, he is God. Because of the resurrection, 500 people see the risen Lord. And later, Paul says, check it out. Talk to those people. Most of them are still alive. He uses them as witnesses. You can check out this story because it's real and it happened. And mentioning Paul, because of Paul, the resurrection, Paul, who was a killer of Christians, ends up becoming one of the most prolific church starters in all of history. Not only that, he wrote most of the books in the New Testament. The resurrection changes everything. It birthed the church. The resurrection is the thing that made Jesus, his own brothers didn't believe in him. But after the resurrection, not only did they believe in him, but they became leaders in the church immediately. And his brother James became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. The resurrection changes everything. It's the same message today. It's why we're here today. It's why we're here today to celebrate that one event that changed everything. It made everything Jesus say real. You know, we live in a world today that it strives for significance and meaning and relevance, and people are just crying out to have something to believe in, something to hope, something to live for. As humans, we try so hard to find these other things, things that will satisfy, and they end, in the end, they don't satisfy. I mean, we think money's gonna do it, and then you see person after person with wealth that's so sad and lonely. You think it's gonna be power or prestige, and those things are empty. People chase after sex and instant gratification, but it doesn't satisfy in the long run. It destroys relationships. People think about that, and then they get so down, and then they medicate. And you look at that world, and you just want to cry out to them, just like in the first century, come and see. Come and see somebody who changes everything. Because he's not just a good teacher, and he's not just somebody like that, but he's somebody that's real and changes everything. What I want to challenge you today is this. Just like the angel told the women, those people in your life, the people you know, they don't realize it, but they're looking for that Jesus. Yes. The fact is, they're looking in places that really are of death, like looking in a tomb, and the angel could, just like with those women, be telling them, you're actually looking for Jesus. He's not here, but he's risen, just like he said he would, and he changes everything. What I want to challenge you to do is this. As you leave this place today, for you to have on the tip of your tongue, come and see. If you could point people and tell them, come and see the empty tomb. Come and see, just like Mary, who breathlessly, when she saw Jesus, she called him Rabbi. Just like Jesus was standing there and Mary, the mother of James, collapses at his feet and worships. Come and see. Come and see like Peter, who was denying him one night and 3 days later, he's a believer and everything has changed. Come and see like Thomas and see the holes in Jesus' hands and feet and the hole in his side and exclaim, Jesus, you are Lord and you are God. Come and see, just like Jesus' brother James, and it changes everything. Just like Paul, killer of Christians, now he becomes one of the greatest church fathers of all time. Come and see the different teachers of the law who once were challenging him, and now the word has been made flesh. Come and see those who were just all about history, and you see that time is bent literally around the person of Jesus Christ. Come and see. Maybe for you, it's something you need to see, that he is reigns over death, and death no longer stings because there's life after death. Yeah. And the life with Christ starts now and lasts forever. If I could have somebody join me on the piano here. I invite you to come and see, even for all of you who are believers here, to be reminded of the price that was paid for your salvation. And because of that, you want to serve him with your whole heart. Come and see the skeptic who's not sure. And you have questions. Questions are good. What's interesting about Christianity, it's so based in history and there's so much proof. Evidence isn't the issue. The issue is always going to be the heart. We could prove to you all day long it's true, but you have to believe it in your heart. And that's the thing Jesus was always after, was the heart. We could say, come and see the place where he was lying. And let your eyes rest, but don't linger there because he doesn't stay there either. Instead, what I want you to do is, just like Jesus told those ladies, those Marys, Mary and the other Mary, go quickly and spread the news. Tell them the truth of the word that you've heard and the word that's changed you and that can change them. Come and see. Wherever you go from here, whether you go to work or whether you go to school or whatever your day is like today, the rest of the day, maybe you have dinner with family or going to a restaurant or whatever you're doing after this, come and see. I'm going to ask you to shut your eyes, if you would, with me for just a moment. I know we have different people here from all over. People have visited. People here, been here. I was talking to a gentleman earlier. He was born into this church. He's in his 80s. It's beautiful. No matter who you are, no matter where you are in your walk of faith, maybe you have questions. It's cool. I still have questions. I love digging for answers. Doubt's not really an issue with Christianity, because doubt can be a great thing if it leads you to investigate, because I'm confident when you investigate, you'll find truth. Simple like that. But for maybe for you, you're struggling with questions, and that's okay. What I want to challenge you to do is come and see. Start to look, investigate, start to see what it is. Then as you do, you'll find more and more things that draw you. It'll be different things for different people, but you'll be drawn to him. Wherever you go, whether it's work or school or family, I want to challenge you to invite them to come and see. And what'll happen as you have followed Christ and act more and more like him, then all those things would change. With everybody's eyes closed, I just want to ask you a simple question. I know on a day like this, like I said, we have people here with all walks of life. But I do want to ask you a question. Maybe for you, as you've been sitting here today, maybe God, as Holy Spirit, does this where he just talks to us in our hearts and minds. And maybe as I've been talking, maybe you've thought, you know what? I do need to give him my life. I need to follow him. Just like he called the disciples, he said to them, come and see. He's calling to you today. And it doesn't mean you'll have every question answered overnight. It doesn't work like that. But what it does mean is you start on that progress and that road to knowing him as Savior, just like they did. So if that's you today, and you want to investigate more, you want to know him more, and start that relationship with him, I just want to give you an opportunity to do that. What we'll do is, if you raise your hand today, we'll just pray with you. In fact, what we'll do is we'll all pray together. And that simple prayer just tells him, God, I'm sorry for what I've done that's wrong. I know that your son paid the price for my sin. That's what Good Friday is about. He died for our sins. He paid the price. And because of that, we have an opportunity to restore a relationship with God. And when you accept his sacrifice and you ask him for forgiveness, he comes in and he changes everything. And then you begin that walk with him that makes you more and more like him. And he keeps calling us, come and see, come and see. There's so much more to see. So if that's you and you're interested in that today, would you just raise your hand and we'll pray with you? Anybody at all like that? I do see the hand. Anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody. Just, if you would, just keep your hand up for a second so I can see it. Anybody else? I do see that hand. Thank you. Would you do this with me? I'm going to ask you all to just repeat this prayer with me. It's simple, like I said. What it does is it acknowledges that Jesus died for our sins. It acknowledges the fact that he is the risen Lord, and he is the one. He invites us to come and see so you can begin that relationship with him. If you would just repeat after me, everybody here today. Father God, I'm sorry for what I've done that's wrong. Thank you that your son paid the price for me. I want a new life with him. I need forgiveness. Change me and make me new. I want to start that life with you today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hey, if that was you today, I just want to encourage you, please talk to one of us on staff here. We'd love to talk to you, or one of the leaders here. We have a Bible to give you, just a simple thing that kind of gives you instructions on what to do next. But I want to challenge the rest of you before you head out here today. Pastor Jeremy's going to come up and kind of close our service out, but I want to encourage you, come and see. It doesn't stop at the garden. It doesn't stop even in the tomb. What it does is it keeps coming for us every single day. So no matter where you are in your experience with God, he calls to you to come and see, because there's more. There's always more, more to him. So I want to encourage you, you know, this church, we offer a lot of opportunities for you to be involved. You heard the announcements. We have things coming up for ladies. If you're 55 and older, we have a prime timers, a senior citizen group. We happen to meet this Tuesday night, but we have more. We have classes on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings. Typically at 9 o'clock, we have classes for you. There is more. I want to encourage you. We have for you to come back and learn more. God bless you, Pastor Jeremy.